last for a while, and then there's going to be major, major problems after the peace. And we just got to go with God's agenda. We do not have the details of God's agenda, but He has given us insight to what's going to happen in the book of Revelation, Daniel, Zechariah, Isaiah, etc., etc. So what's happening is virtually nations falling in line according to God's agenda. That's all it is. All I can say to you is, let's focus on making disciples, spreading the gospel, sharing the faith with others that haven't got faith. This morning, I want to continue with PEACE, the acronym PEACE. We've been looking at that now for several weeks, most probably almost a month or almost 2 months. And we noticed that it's the acronym PEACE, which means we started off with we are a priesthood pertaining to the born-again believer, every single one of us. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're part of the priesthood, which the modern man doesn't understand because it goes back to the Jewish setup and also particularly in the Old Testament. So there was the priest and the high priest, or the priest was functioning in the temple and the tabernacle prior to the temple. And so we find the Bible tells us now because of Jesus Christ and we accepted Jesus Christ, we are part of a priesthood, but Jesus Christ is the high priest. So He's in heaven as a high priest. He's prophet, priest, and king. Came as a prophet, He's the high priest, and He's coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So that's the threefold status of Jesus Christ. So we are a priesthood, but as a priesthood, we've seen in the temple in particular as well, and the tabernacle, priest's ministry is to serve. They've got to serve. So we as people need to serve each other. And that's where we got to the E, where it means exhort one another. The Bible says do that daily. Exhort one another. People that are going through a tough time, exhort them. Build them up. Folks that you haven't seen in a while, call them, build them up. So that's body ministry. It's not pastoral ministry only. It's the body of Christ that needs to function. Exhort each other. It doesn't say pastor exhort the people. It says exhort each other daily. So we function as priests. We're living in a self-centered world today. It's all about me, doing what I want when I feel like it, etc., etc. Within the body of Christ, that individualism is no longer there or should not be there. Within the body of Christ, it's members of one body and He is the head of the body. And then, of course, we looked at the A, which is authority. We've looked at the biblical authority. There's authority comes from God. All authority comes from God. Authority given to kings, given to presidents, given to leaders. So we see authority in the government. There's got to be authority. If there's no authority, there's chaos. But authority can be used and abused, as we have seen in history and we see to this day. So within the government, there's authority. Within the household, there is authority. God has ordained that authority. Doesn't come from man. Man never initiated. God initiated it. God gave it to man. So it's delegated authority. And it's authority within the church. And we follow that authority within the church as God has laid out. And then, of course, the C is communicate. And to communicate appropriately, which we started off last Sunday. And we concluded this Sunday. Communicate appropriately. We have then seen from last week that God is the greatest communicator. There is no greater communicator than God. And we have looked at several things last week, and I want to touch on some more this morning. Communication serves several purposes. What do you think one of the purposes of communication is? What is it supposed to do? What do you think? Spread God's word. Think, guys, think. Make things understandable. Yeah? We're looking at communication. Communication serves several purposes. To inform. You've got to communicate. Delegate. Learn. To express feelings. Don't touch me. Keep your distance. Get out of the kitchen. He's not even married and he knows that. Express the feelings. But also to imagine. You can speak and let design something and in your head explain it to people what you are seeing, to imagine. But you can also use communication to influence. You can influence for the good, or you can influence for the bad. You can influence to build up the body, or you can influence to tear down the body. So once again, communication is vital depending how you want to use it. To meet social expectations. So communication is a way we accomplish what God has designed and called us to do. Every single one of us. Communicate in some way or another. And that's why, as you look at that slide, communication is a way we accomplish what God has designed and called us to do. Now, that's a very interesting statement. What has He designed and what has He called us to do through communication? All of us are in the same boat. All of us got to learn from God's message. So God is a communicator. He's a personal God who communicates with others. If you look at the slide, I think it's the next one, Nicole. Communication is an important part of our humanity. We do so much of our daily work through communication. Think about that. So we recognize that God is a personal God who communicates with others. Unlike the impersonal gods of many religions, as I explained last Sunday, many religions have gods that they have made. They've carved them. They've got statues. I ride to Walmart and I see kind of statues in people's yards. I said, what does that mean? That statue gets dust, that moss, that statue gets snow, that statue gets sunbeat, and eventually that statue cracks, and you've got to fill up the cracks in the statue. What good is that statue if you want to communicate with it? But it's something that people have been raised with, is to have statues. So God is telling us, I am the communicator, I'm a personal God, and I don't want you to have idols because idols are dead. I believe the Pope just heard from Mother Mary. I'm not knocking down either one of them. I just want to tell you, I don't need to hear from Mother Mary. Because Mother Mary is the same human being as you and me. Yeah, she gave birth to Jesus, that is true, and I regard that as something spectacular, but she was born as any human being and she died as any human being died. So we must be careful of these higher people that say they hear from Mother Mary. If God wants to communicate, He'll communicate directly with living people and not dead people. So God is a personal God who communicates with others, unlike the impersonal gods of many religions. God is the greatest communicator. But the question is, what is godly communication? If we sang that beautiful song, I'm Redeemed. If we analyze that song, we are redeemed. The question is, who redeemed us? And before we were redeemed, what were we? It's a good question. If I had to be bought, where was I before I was bought? Because redeemed means bought back. I was a slave. The Bible says I was dead in my sin. I was in the market of sin, a slave. I was separated from God, but he redeemed me. And this is the beautiful thing. Now that he has redeemed me, he has bought me, it means somebody else owns me prior to the person that owned me before. Oh, we are all God's children. Yeah, that's true. God made everybody, but he made the animals too. But he bought us. Anybody who puts their faith in Christ is a new creation. That's what the Bible says. So if he's redeemed us, if he has bought us, doesn't he tell us or have the right to tell us how we should live? But who cares what he's got to say? I live my life. I don't need him to tell me how to live. Of course we do. Why? Because he bought me. Godly communication, which we will expand a little bit on this morning, has two primary goals, and I want us to understand it. I want us to get a grip of it, grasp it. For us that are in church this morning and in churches around the world that are followers of Jesus Christ, I want you to know that godly communication has two primary goals. And the two primary goals are simple, very, very simple. Very difficult at times to implement, a challenge to adhere to. Difficult at times to live up to those challenges. Godly communication has two primary goals. Number one, what do you think? Come on, we've been redeemed. I'm getting you going this morning in your thinking. The primary goal of the person that is redeemed is to do what? Make disciples, somebody to worship God. Why? He orchestrated the redemption, right? But there's another important thing. The Bible doesn't only say we've got to glorify God. The Bible says we've got to edify others. There's the two. There's nothing else. Glorify God, edify others. Oh, there's substacks to all of this. But how do we glorify God? What do you think? How do I glorify God? Present my life to him, doing his will. Reading his word. Praising him. We go through it actually all through speech. Exalting him. Magnifying, telling others about him. So we glorify God with our speech. When what we say is true, and that reflects the character of God. So we recognize the responsibility that you and I have is to fulfill those two primary goals, to glorify God and to edify others. The average human being falls short on both those things. The non-believer doesn't glorify God. They live their life. The edification of others seems to be impossible today, especially within our government. There's such division in our government. No wonder the Bible says, pray for those that are over you. If I've got to continue to intercede, I'll never get off my knees because the division is so great. To edify others with our speech means what? To glorify God, we can use speech, actions, words. To edify others, and let's look at the primary focus here. The others is the body of Christ. This is the body. If you're born again, you're part of the body of Christ. So if I have a responsibility to edify you and you to edify me, how does that edification process work? How do I do that? How do you edify somebody? Yeah, shout out. Encourage. Pray, lift them up. Build them up. Build them up in the what? In the faith. In the faith. So to edify others with our speech is to build them up in the faith. But that also includes encouraging them, which we saw way back with the E. Exhort one another daily. But there's another responsibility that's also part of the body. Not just me, not just Heather. The other part that's got to filter in and through the body is also teach. Oh, not only teach. We got to rebuke. Oh, don't go there. You've got no right to rebuke me. Yeah, we have. If we do it in a biblical manner. Because we're all in the same boat. We're not perfect. So somewhere along the line, we're going to go, of course, and we need a rebuke. Come on, get on, kick your butt. The whole thing of this rebuking and even teaching, but rebuking, is to get them back in line and back on track in focusing God. But people don't like to hear the truth today. They want to rebel against the truth. They believe that you've got no right to tell them anything, which within the context of Christianity is totally unbiblical. Of course I have a right to tell you, and you have a right to tell me and share with one another, because we are members of one body. In Ephesians 4, and I'll read it through these three verses. Since you have heard about Jesus and have done what? So you learn the truth, right? You hear it. You learned the truth that comes from Him. In other words, since you've now heard, and since you've learned and become a follower of Jesus Christ, there's now a responsibility. You've heard. You've learned, or learning. In other words, learning what He wants, learning how He wants you to live, learning how He wants you to do things. Now I've got a responsibility. I have a responsibility. My responsibility then, according to the Word of God, is do what? Throw off your old sinful nature. How do I know that I've got a sinful nature? You're born with it. You can't go to the doctor and let him cut it out. Throw off your old sinful nature and notice, and your former way of life. So my former way of life does not tie in with God's way of life. That's why it's called former. So there's a separation here. My former way of life, was it pleasing to God? No. My former way of life before I became a Christian, was God happy with that? No. And He says, that way you're going to destruction. You're heading towards hell. But I've come to redirect, come to create in you a new person. And that's why He says, as you've heard and you've learned the truth. Because remember that scripture? The truth shall do what? Set you free. So if there's no truth, what are you in then? Bondage. Bondage. But you've heard the truth, and now the truth sets you free. And if you're free, you're free indeed, if He set you free. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. Well, there's a big debate on that. We're not getting into that. People say, no, you don't have two natures. When you become a child of God, you've only got one nature. But I tell you what, my experience, I've got two natures. The things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I do want to do, I don't do, right? I do it, the things I don't want. So what do? Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. What does, and I ask the question just for us to stimulate the mind so we can leave this place this morning understanding what communication is. Because communication involves our behavior. Communication involves our speech, our attitudes. With the wrong attitude, there'll be wrong communication. Nicole, just go quick back for me again there. Thank you. Notice this. Old sinful nature and our former way of life. Let's pause for a moment there. What does the former way of life? Now, the comparison is the life in Christ and the life outside of Christ. The life with Christ, the life before Christ. So what does the former way of life include? What does it look like? What does it look like? Not the life in Christ, the former way of life. What does it look like? Sin. Define sin. Everything that doesn't please God. So that's a broad statement. So let's try and cut it into pieces. What does former way of life include? Habits. What's it, Jay? Rebellion. Say it again. Addictions. Lies. Who said that? Somebody said lies. Lust. Idols. Narcissism. Can we get to the end of that list, please? Can we just get to the end of that list? No. Because somehow the old wife can dream up things you've never dreamt of, and you can do them. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. Nicole, this is good. Which what? Look at your former, when I say, look at our former way of life prior to our life in Christ. We can say, no. I didn't do some of those things. But did you do some of them? So if you did some of them, you're just as guilty as some of the things you didn't do. It's corrupted by lust and deception. And deception is increasing. Several years ago, I did a teaching on that. You may even recall that. We're living in an age of deception. Not only deception in the world, but deception within Christianity. Now, why would the Bible say instead? What would be a synonym for instead? In place of, maybe? Instead. In other words, lay off your former way of life that was corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, in place of that former way of life, now that you have got a new life, because 2 Corinthians 5:17, which I quote a lot, you know that, whoever is in Christ is a what? A new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Passing away, the new has come. Instead, let the Spirit renew your. Why? Why wasn't my old thoughts and my attitudes acceptable to God? Because they stank. You and I were stinking sinners. And the thoughts we had and the attitudes we had was not conducive to the person that's in the light. Instead, let the Spirit renew. Okay, how long is that going to take? Give me a time frame, please. Like 30 days, 6 months, 1 year. How much, John? Are you serious? I don't think I'm up to that. Will the ushers take this guy out, please? It's dead. It's dead. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts. Notice that. Thoughts and attitudes is revealed through what? Speech. Behavior. Verse 24 is important. Put on your new nature. Remember we spoke about 2 Corinthians? Put on, in other words, clothe yourself. This is the way I want you to function. We're getting to communication that is appropriate and also behavior. But it says, put on your new nature, created to be like God. So, okay, so when did we lose this? If I was created to be like God, when did I lose it? Well, I never lost it. Adam and Eve lost it on my behalf. And I just inherited it. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So I understand from the scripture that there are rules. And Paul stresses the importance of laying aside the old self and its way of doing things and putting on the new self, which is God's way of handling matters. And then within Ephesians chapter 4, as we proceed, we will find there are kind of four rules of communication. And I'm just going to go through a couple of things over here. They are good for both preventing and solving problems. So as I go through Ephesians chapter 4 with you this morning, and we'll do it verse by verse as we've just looked at the first 22, 23, 24, we get to a particular scripture that we've got to clothe ourselves with. Put on your new nature. So if I go back to the old nature, once again, what did the old nature consist of? In other words, what was default in the old nature? Because somehow in the new nature, sometimes we'll walk and then we'll fail and we go back to default. And the question is, what is default in the old nature? Sin, habits, lying. Like I said to you last time, you've never taught a child to lie, but you teach them to speak the truth. A child is born with lying. All of us. Two translations of Ephesians 4:25, New Living and God's Word translation. The first rule is be honest. That's what God expects from a person that is born again. Be honest. Sometimes we're good, sometimes we're not good with that. Ephesians 4:25, New Living Translation says, so stop doing what? Why? That was your default. You can't continue with this default. You're a new creation, a brand new person. Do old Christians still at times lie? Yeah. And we're going to work on this, so stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the what? Why? Why? You don't have to remember the truth, but you always got to remember the lie. And after the 6 months, the lie can grow. It morphs into something else with a tail and a head. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are. And here's the important thing for you and I to recognize, and the reason for us to tell the truth. What is the reason? We are all parts. What body? So, who's the head of the body? So, can Christ lie? Never? No. And there's the emphasis. For we are all parts of the same body. Well, I don't like you. What do you say, John? Suck it up, buttercup. Oh, now you want to be like Adam blaming the wife again. Okay, so it doesn't matter. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. For we are all parts of the same body. God's word translation. So then, get rid. Get rid of lies. Speak the truth to each other. Amazing that he uses this. The words in the God's Word translation, New Living Translation, even New King James, NIV translation, some of them say, so you speak. That particular phrase is actually not optional. It's a command. You speak. Not I think, maybe. No. It's a command. You speak truth. Because people cannot read your minds. And also remember that clamming up is out for a Christian. I can't just clam up and say nothing. If I see something, say something, right? So it's a command. So the first one we find is be honest. Speak, command, speak the truth. Now the question then is, can the truth liberate or set free or bring you into bondage? Truth cannot bring you into bondage. Truth can only set you free. But oftentimes people don't want to be set free from truth. They want to continue what they are doing that is totally against the word of God. And once a Christian approaches another Christian and speaks the truth as commanded from God and written in the word, because we never thought it up. We are proclaiming the truth. And the minute another Christian approaches a Christian and speaks the truth, the attitude changes very quick. Who do you think you are? Well, I'm a nobody. All I am doing is conveying what is in the word of God. God, and this, why must I do this? Why must I speak truthfully to you? Why must you speak truthfully to your fellow brothers and sisters? So they are not deceived. So would you not appreciate somebody that speaks the truth to you? Or would you rather have somebody tell you lies? I'd rather have somebody speak the truth. Can't truth hurt? Ooh, you've been there. You've been there. Oh, you guys. Yeah, it hurts. You don't want to hear it. The old doesn't want to hear it. The old nature doesn't want to hear this. But truth hurts. And sometimes it's also more hurtful if somebody says it in a different way. But it hurts. Don't clam up. Don't say, I'm afraid to talk to them. No, that's my brother and sister. I've got to communicate. But our communication isn't just with arrogance, should not just be with arrogance. Our communication should be truthful. Because if a person is involved in something that is not part of the word of God, we can speak the truth, and then it's up to that individual to continue living a lie or disobeying the word of God. I want to speak the truth. So speak truth is a command. But I also have discovered in the word of God that speaking the truth is a continuous action. But I must also be careful in speaking the truth that I'm not a hypocrite. That I try and live up to the truth that I'm proclaiming. So be honest. Number two, keep current. It's so much of the human nature to dig up the dirt. Wow. Things that you may have forgotten about that is brought up again, and some people just regurgitate all the stuff that stinks. Keep current. In Ephesians 4:26. Go ahead. I like the message. Maybe I chose the message because it kind of suits me. I don't know. Go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry. But there's the little clause. What is it? But do not use your anger, or don't use your anger to do what? To feel for revenge. I'm going to get you back. Just wait. Don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. Go ahead and be angry. Go ahead, be angry at me now. Go. Be angry because of the truth. Come on, go ahead, be angry. You do well to be angry, so get the steam out of you. But do not use your anger as fuel for revenge. And what? You got exactly 25 minutes, and then we're having fellowship downstairs. So get rid of that anger very quickly. And don't stay angry. And for the married couples, don't go to bed angry. No, it's not for the married couples. It's for everybody else. So what do we find? Be current. Stay current. Don't let things dwell in your heart. Failure to solve each day's problems, or solving the problems of that day, whether it be marriage, whether it be at work, whether it just be a relationship that you're involved in, if you fail to deal with that problem, you are opening the way to resentment and hatred. Because if you don't resolve that problem, it grows, it festers. And then the mind gets involved. And it's not the mind of the Holy Spirit. It's the mind of the evil spirit. Or influenced by. And your mind goes. And your mind goes. And your mind develops actions that are not pleasing to God. And that's why it says don't go to bed angry. Try and resolve that problem ASAP. So you don't open the way to resentment and hatred. And then number three. Attack the problem and not the person. So when we look at this, and it's a fine line because the person is involved. Ephesians 4:27. If we do not let go of that anger, the Bible actually tells us that we are opening the door for the devil to work. But if a case is resolved that day, or within 10 minutes, 50 minutes, day or whatever, if it is resolved within that day, we're not giving the devil any opportunity to work. So what kind of work do you think the devil can do with unresolved problems? A lot. He can destroy an individual. He can destroy a relationship. He can destroy a church. Don't give the devil any opportunity to work. How does he work? Through the mind. And that's why the Bible explicitly states, have the renewing of the mind, the washing. There's something I would like to add in over here, because it's strange that he gives this, don't give the devil any opportunity to work. Here's some sound advice that I found in the Word of God as a follower of Christ in Ephesians 4:28-29. Now notice how all of a sudden, don't give the devil opportunity to work. And he showed us how we're going to lay aside our old nature. Then he says, if anyone is stealing, He's got to stop it. Stop stealing, man. And begin using those hands for honest work so that you can give to others in need. You want to hear this one? Let's read it together. Don't use bad language. Say only what is good and helpful to those who are talking to you and what will give them a blessing. Don't raise your hands. How many of you use bad language this week? Don't raise your hands. I don't want to call up people for prayer and take an offering at the same time. Don't use bad language. Define bad language. Anything that's not wholesome. Anything that's not productive. As I said to you, I am shocked at how the F word has become so popular in this day and age. Not only in the English language, but interpreted in languages around the world that people can't even speak English, uses the word. Wow. I wish the gospel could be so impactful as this word is. I mean, even the people in the House and the Senate, they're also using this word now. As if they want to relate to us. So they're trying to say that they were superior to us. But you know what, guys? We speak your language now. Deception. Deception. So much deception going on within the House and the Senate in any case. Number four. Act, don't react. Ephesians 4:31. So now we are looking at behavioral patterns. Stop being mean, bad-tempered. In other words, always mean, always bad-tempered, always angry. There's some people that they're just angry 24/7. There's some people that are just mean all the time. There's some people that can only complain. There's some people that are always just negative. There's some people that can always just find fault. Like the black dot on a white piece of paper. What do you see? The black dot. You can't see the big white paper? Stop being mean, bad-tempered, and angry. Quarreling. Oh, that's a famous one amongst Christians. Quarreling, harsh words, and dislike of others. Notice what it says, guys. And dislike of others should have no place in your lives. Why not? It's old nature. It's old nature. We're going to clothe ourselves with a new nature. Do we have our work cut out or what? We've got our work cut out, my mate. So we find the Word of God says, attack the problems. Number four, act, don't react. Because reaction is attitudes and actions you must put off completely. Don't quarrel. Don't get involved in other people's, you know what, so many people are putting their nose in other people's business. Mind your own business. Stay in your lane. I see this so often. And then when they're involved in other people's business, it's so easy to go today. Just go to Facebook and paste it there. Who the heck wants to hear what your problems are? Most of those things people do. All that does is define who you actually are. That's all it does. Can I give you a suggestion from the Word of God? Don't quarrel or argue if it's none of your business. How do I know that? Proverbs 26. Look what it says. Yanking a dog's ears is no more foolish than interfering in an argument that isn't any of your business. Go yank that dog's ear and see what happens. Yanking a dog's ears is no more foolish than interfering in an argument that isn't any of your business. Now that he's given us the things we should say and don't say, now that he's given us what we shouldn't be doing as a child of God, let go of that old nature, all of a sudden I find it's almost like a replacement. You're going to lay off, put on. Get rid of, clothe. You see the two extremes. Darkness, light. God's devil's way, God's way. We get to Ephesians 4:32. Now we get to the positive. Be kind to who? And it's not, I'm asking this question just in vain. No, no, no. Why must we be kind to each other? Why? Why? Treat others like you want to be treated? For we are all members. That's how we started it. We are all members of one body. So if we hurt little one in the body is hurt. And the more we grow into this, be kind to each other, sympathetic. Now that's not always easy, being kind. Someday it's one of those days and you may just push the wrong button. I thought you were a pastor. I am a pastor, but I've got weakness. Be kind to each other, sympathetic, and the big one we don't want to do. If you've got unforgiveness, for how long do you want to carry the unforgiveness? For how long? Why don't you get rid of the baggage? Forgiveness does not build you up. Forgiveness tears you down. Forgiveness holds you in bondage and unforgiveness liberates you. So why do you want to be held in bondage? But I like what the Bible tells me, because it says, be kind to each other, sympathetic, understanding, but forgiving each other. But there's an example as God has forgiven you. How long did it take God to forgive you? How long? When you ask for forgiveness, how long did it take God to forgive you? In the blink of an eye. So why is it taking you so long to forgive somebody else? You bigger than God? You better than God? God says forgive. Well, there's got to be some measures. We first got to see how this thing works. They first got to prove that. Imagine God saying, I will forgive you only if you prove yourself. Oh, forgive, but I won't forget. Yeah, another unbiblical saying. Forgiving each other as God has forgiven you through Christ. Like other aspects of life, or aspects of God's image, because we saw God made us in his image, he's given us the ability to communicate. That's part, as I said last week, it's part of his image. To communicate is part of his image. Because God is the ultimate communicator. There's something I want you to remember now, that God has taken us out of darkness, which is the kingdom of darkness, of whom the devil is the head. And that kingdom is only going to last another short while. When I say short while, it's not eternal in the sense of its existence among human beings. That darkness will be confined one day to the great lake of fire, the lake of fire. Okay? So we've got the darkness and the light. But this is something you must remember, please. The devil cannot create anything. He can only distort what God has created. That's all he can do. Satan tries to distort our ability to communicate. The communication that God wants is to build us up. The communicate that the devil wants for us is to break each other down. Satan can't create anything. He hasn't got the power to do that. All things were created by God. He's the ultimate communicator. Lying, gossip, slander are all distortions of communication. As I wrap this up, I came across a very interesting reading the other month. An ancient legend tells of a king who sent his servant to find the most valuable thing in the kingdom. Servant, go out into my kingdom and find the most valuable thing in my kingdom. After weeks of searching, the servant returned and said, Your Majesty, the most valuable thing in your kingdom is the tongue. With the tongue, a wise person is able to convince other people to act wisely. A righteous person is able to convince others to do what is right. The tongue is the most valuable thing in your kingdom. The king then sent his servant to find the most dangerous thing in his kingdom. Go out and find the most dangerous thing in my kingdom so we can get rid of it. A few weeks later, the servant returned and said, Your Majesty, the most dangerous thing in your kingdom is the tongue. With the tongue, a fool can convince those around him to act foolishly. With the tongue, an evil person can convince others to do evil. The tongue is the most dangerous thing in your kingdom. So how would the king get rid of the most dangerous thing in his kingdom? Circumcision of the tongue? But isn't that what the Bible tells us? The tongue is so small, lit by the fire of hell. That's what it says. But understand this morning as I close, the primary means through which God has chosen to spread the good news of Jesus Christ is what? Through communication. Spoken communication. And then of course Jesus instructs his disciples to do what? Matthew 28. I want us to close with this morning, please. The Living Bible translation says, Therefore, based on what I've said before, I come to this conclusion and I tell you, therefore, go make disciples. We've asked this over and over. We've belabored this point for years and years and years. The question is, how active are you and I in making disciples? Go and make. Not wait for them to come to us, but for us to go to people and share the gospel by means of communication. Go and make disciples in all nations. Of course, baptizing them, that's very important. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But verse 20 is something you and I must never forget. And then after you've done that, after you've communicated, after you've shared with them and they accepted the gospel, they get baptized, but there's a responsibility. And what is that responsibility? That the world, the Christians within the world have failed. And then teach these new disciples. Teach. How long do you teach them? When do you and I stop learning? So then, does that mean we need to be teaching? You know, I don't have gigabytes up here. I've only got megabytes. And then teach these new disciples to do what? Because we've come from a life of disobedience. That was our default. Now teach them, teach them, teach them. I don't want to be taught. You've got to be taught. Teach them to obey. But there's certain things you've got to obey. The commands I have given you. In other words, the concepts, the precepts in the Word of God. Teach them the Word of God. We live in an age today that the average Christian has got very little knowledge of the contents of the Word of God. Very little. They've got certain phrases they can quote. And even some of the things they quote, they can't even apply. So in general, this poverty pertaining the knowledge of God and applying it in the Christian's life. Because we've now got to an age, everything is sensual. Everything is done to appease the soulish part of man. To get your injection for the Sunday. To get hyped up for the Sunday. So that you can work through the week. You come here to get your 9-hour dose to help you through the day. Sensationalism is part of the new age. Commands I have given you, and be sure of this, a promise that I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. So, communication. Be honest. Speak the truth. Keep current. Don't attack the problems. Attack the problems, but not the person. Act and don't react. We don't want to give the devil a foothold, and then we want to clothe ourselves with the new clothes that Christ has intended for us. Get rid of that stinking clothes. Get rid of those clothes that are divisive. For you that want some nice clothes in the physical, you go to the school this afternoon and get some nice clothes free of charge. They blessed. Go clothe yourselves externally, but clothe yourself internally with the Word of God. Can we pray together? Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning.